Well, need the Lord's help this morning. I owe him my life, and he's been so good and so faithful, and thank him for it. I want to do his will and pray that his will would be accomplished here this morning. Written the word accepted on the board. I'd like to think what it means to be accepted. I want to begin Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Be grateful for your prayers. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, says in verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." I want to think about this story of Cain and Abel for a few moments. This says, looking back throughout the centuries of time, reflecting back on Cain and Abel's life and story, it's hard for us to see sometimes in the moment the bigger picture, but our life matters for something, and our life impacts more than just we ourselves. It says that Abel, although he is dead, he's still today in 2025, he's still speaking to us by the life that he lived. And it wasn't a life under which he gave testimony himself, but it says that God testified of what Abel had. God testified that and bore witness and of his gifts or of what Abel offered unto the Lord. The Lord's the one that gave testimony. You know, there is no higher commendation than to have the Lord say, "I am well pleased." For the Lord to accept what we're bringing before him, to accept my life and the offerings that I bring to the Lord on a daily basis. So I'd like to turn to Genesis, the 4th chapter, for a moment. Let's read a little bit of this story. Genesis 4, and begin in the 3rd verse. "In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And this preceded, or maybe precipitated, the events that became the first murder in the history of the world. This worked something in Cain's heart and in his life that really, I think, testified of the reason why the Lord didn't accept his sacrifice. The Lord is looking at more than the object we're bringing to him. Brother Greg alluded to that this morning. The Lord is looking at more than what it is I have. He's looking at how I'm bringing it. He's looking at the heart condition of the bringer. And I'll just confess to you, I don't know entirely why the Lord had more respect unto the offering that Abel brought than to Cain. I've heard various ideas and thoughts on it, none of which I guess seemed conclusive. And perhaps we don't know conclusively. But I think there are some things inferred here. One, we see one of the first things that was done after the fall of man, Cain and Abel's parents, that God, he slew an animal. And it's been known, it was very, very little information given at this point in time, revealed unto them, but it began to be unfolded throughout the ages that there was no atonement for sin without the shedding of blood. And there is perhaps in this some acknowledgement on the part of Abel that I am a sinful man. Death passed on all mankind after Adam, including and starting with his children. And there was perhaps in that an acknowledgement that I have to give something that has life in it for my life. And in the shedding of his blood, and certainly in the condition of his heart, the Lord looked upon that and said, that's acceptable to me. Well, I want to expand on the possibility that it had something to do with the shedding of blood and acknowledgement of an atonement that was needed. You know, it's of very little avail for us still today to get things out of order. And you know, there was a place where the Lord commanded and commended the giving of sacrifices similar to what Cain offered. It wasn't, again, so much, I think, the item that Cain brought. There was a time and there was a place that the Lord condoned and blessed that. So I want to give us a modern day example of that. You know, praise is comely. Praise is appropriate. It's in order. In order. Do you know, if we come before the Lord with sinful hearts, with hearts that are tainted with the corruption and pollution of sin, do you know that becomes a sacrifice that is not accepted of the Lord? For me to come and expect the Lord to overlook, maybe because I'm in a worship team, maybe because I can play the instruments ever so beautifully, or to bring it more into Church of God language, even can sing ever so harmoniously. If there's something that hasn't been first given as the first fruits of my life, the Lord, there's something that I need taken care of down inside of me, that's not going to be accepted of the Lord. And you know, we need the Lord and long for the Lord to accept the sacrifice or the offering of our worship unto Him. We're desperate for it because we teach and we believe that it's all we have, that it's all we're to come and present in our worship services. It's part of the reason why we don't come with the production of the entertainment of men's hands. It's part of the reason why we don't have entertaining programs or even the production, again, of man's invention of worshiping the Lord from music of men's hands. For the Lord is not worshipped with men's hands, but He's worshipped with men's hearts. And what God has given unto man, that He accepts from a pure and a spiritual heart. And the Lord bears witness. It's not our own testimony of ourself. It's not because we say we are the church of God. But you know, it's only as the Lord bears witness and testifies that I accept this sacrifice and this offering. Well, I don't want to get too much further ahead. But as we think of Cain and Abel, the Lord spoke to Cain. You know, the Lord cares about every one of us. He loves every soul in this world. He went to Cain, to the very one that He didn't accept His sacrifice. And He came to Cain and He began talking to him. You know, I see in this, it wasn't that the Lord despised Cain. It wasn't that the Lord didn't want Cain to be accepted. And this gets into a lot of theological areas. The Lord, the scripture teaches, he is no respecter of persons. It isn't that the Lord foreordains and selects. I want this one to be saved. This one's going to be accepted of me. But that one can never be accepted by me. No matter, and wouldn't that be a hopeless feeling and thought? To think, to know, or even to wonder, can I bring anything to the Lord that's acceptable? Is there anything that I can do that can please the Lord? I've been challenged as a father. Lord, help me as a father that I not parent in a way that my children think there's nothing I can do to please him. There's no way that I can leave. There's no way that I can say it that can please him. Lord, help me to be an accurate representation of the Father. I'm thankful that we don't serve a heavenly Father like that. That I can never quite know whether or not I've done enough. Whether or not the Lord cares about me. Or if it's just someone else. Well, it just seems like other people kind of have it together. It seems like other people have more of a disposition towards it, or it seems like they're more gifted towards it. But woe is me. It just seems like everything goes against me. It just seems like I have a predisposition the other way, and it just seems like I can never live a steadfast, consistent, godly, established life. But the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? Why are you wroth? Isn't it interesting how the enemy works that as a step in the unbeliever? Resentment towards the ones that are accepted. It's still seen in our world today. That's why Jesus said, don't marvel that the world hates you. The world hates me as well. It's not that they hate you because of your evil deeds towards them. They hate you because you're not of the world. Because you're accepted of the Father. Why are you angry, Cain? Why is your countenance fallen? Oh, how many people live lives of fallen countenances in our world. How many people live under the shadow and the specter of fear and dread and doubt and darkness and gloominess of their life. Why is your countenance fallen, Cain? Listen, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, this is for you just like it is for anybody else. Cain, it's not that I just prefer Abel over you. It's not that I love Abel more than I love you. Cain, you can do it as well. And I'm so thankful for this story that the Lord came and he, even in Cain's despair and his despondency, the Lord came and he dealt with Cain. I believe if Cain would have responded to the Lord's voice, oh Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to be accepted of you. Lord, I'll go back and offer 10 more offerings unto you, Lord. I want to be accepted of you. I believe the rest of his story would have been so much different. And isn't it the same with every soul today? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared not unto a foreordained and pre-selected number of exclusive people, that the Lord says, I'm going to extend to you the opportunity of salvation. But unto you, it was foreordained before you were ever born that you're fitted only for destruction and damnation. Thank the Lord that the grace of God appears unto every individual that has ever lived in this world, extending to them the opportunity. Don't you know if you do well, you too can be accepted? Don't you know if you'll follow my ways, the blessings of my ways will also follow after you? But if you don't, Cain, if you don't, sin lies at the door. That's all that's left for you, Cain. If you don't do well, sin lies at the door. And for every one of us, that opportunity is extended. Yes, unto salvation itself, but unto the fullness of everything that God has available through His plan of salvation, it's available for you and for me. There are parts of it that, well, because of who my father was and my grandfather, and because I have this certain disposition or nature or personality or whatever it is, I just can never get to where they are. Well, it's not about us comparing ourselves among ourselves anyway. But I ought to have the heart and the desire to say, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. I want to be accepted before you. And we can know and have the reassurance, praise God, that we are, that we can be. Think about these sacrifices. Elijah offered a sacrifice unto the Lord on Mount Carmel. And they had this agreement, as you'll remember, the prophets of Baal, you offer whatever you want to offer unto your God, and you cry out unto your God, and I'll do the same. And the God that answers by fire, the God that bears witness that the sacrifice was accepted, that's the God that you follow. Well, sure, that sounds like a good deal. That's fair. Let it be so. So he said, you go first. And they went and they offered their offering unto their God and began crying out to him and praying and praying more and praying louder and jumping and cutting themselves, and still no answer. You know, it's part of the darkness of the religions of this world. How do you ever know if your efforts are accepted? How do you ever know if you've done enough? If you've earned enough karma to be able to get a good portion in the next life? There's this uncertainty that lingers over people's minds and hearts. They got no answer. Though they cried all through the daytime, they got no answer. But oh, when Brother Elijah laid out his sacrifice to the Lord and he offered just a simple prayer of faith unto God, it wasn't anything elaborate. And I'm going to remind us here today that when we come and we bring our offerings unto the Lord, the Lord isn't looking at how elaborate it is. He's not looking with how well your words flow together when you offer a prayer unto Him. He's not even listening for, I believe, how well your voices blend together, but He's looking at the heart and the condition of how I bring myself unto the Lord to accept that. Elijah offered that simple prayer and the Lord answered by fire. Oh, I want the Lord to answer the sacrifice that I bring to Him. Lord, I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just be doing the things that I'm doing because it's what's expected of me. Lord, I am coming, even in this service here this morning, Lord, I am coming with a desire for you to answer. For as I bring my heart to you, as I come before the Lord and bring a gift or an offering unto Him in the New Testament prescribed way, in spirit and in truth, Lord, would you answer me by the fire of the Holy Spirit? Lord, would you come and burn within my heart your word and your truth? Lord, would you come and give me understanding and enlighten my heart? I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Some of this, I believe, again, was alluded to by Brother Greg. 2 Corinthians 8. The 11th verse, now therefore perform the doing of it. Now this is to the Corinthians. They had had a desire and expressed a desire to help in a need that was brought before them a year prior. And he said, now it's time to perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If you think about what Paul is telling us here, it's accepted. When we bring ourselves before the Lord, it's accepted according to what I have, what I am able to bring to the Lord. He's not looking at what other people have and comparing me to what others have. And so the widow that came and brought her two little mites before the Lord, it was so little, it was so inconsequential, insignificant, it's not going to do much for the repair of the temple and maintenance of it. It's not going to go very far in helping the poor. And some might even argue, what's the use? But that's not what the Lord said. He said, I want you to take notice of her. I want you to take note of what she's done. There were others who were throwing large amounts in, and it was very evident that they were giving large sums of money. The Lord so easily could have said, all right, add it up, tally it up. Who's given the most? To you is the greatest reward. But that's not what the Lord said. He said, you look at her, she gave out of what she had. The others, they've given out of their abundance, and they've done it from the desire and motivation to be seen of men. But I'm going to tell you, that's accepted before what they've given. It's not accepted according to the abundance or elaborate nature of what we bring to the Lord. Folks, let's bring our all to the Lord. However big your all is, bring it to the Lord. Give it to Him. However insignificant and inconsequential you might feel like it is, bring it to the Lord. And when we do that from a ready and a willing and a pure heart, the Lord will accept that. And we can have the assurance and the confidence by faith that it's accepted of the Lord. I think similarly of the two men that Jesus taught a lesson from. They were both praying, the one on the street corner. And in my mind's eye, I see him with his chest kind of puffed out. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these other men. And he had a very long prayer and no doubt had it. I imagine it being eloquent. It was rehearsed. He said everything the right way. And he was saying it loudly enough that everybody could hear the prayer that he was praying. Jesus turned and he pointed them to another man who didn't even lift up his head to look up. But instead he smote on his breast and, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said, you look, that man will go home to his house justified before the other man. That man's gift, his offering, was accepted of the Lord. It was the way he brought it to the Lord. He didn't have the pedigree. He didn't have the knowledge that the other man had, but what he had was a contrition. He had a humility of heart and mind, and he brought it all to the Lord. And the Lord accepted that of him. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Offer yourselves unto the Lord. It's not about how much money we bring, although that if that's part of what the Lord has given us, it's part of what I bring to the Lord. But bring yourselves, bring your bodies unto the Lord. Give it unto the Lord as a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto Him, not standing as the Pharisee in the way I pray, not coming as the ones we reference that my stand before the people in a worship team, and yet sin all over their darkened hearts. When I come and I present my body as a sacrifice to the Lord, pure, acceptable unto Him. Believe it's in Malachi, isn't it? It said, what, will you bring your lame and your crippled, basically, to the Lord? You try giving the crippled of your flocks unto your governor. Will he accept that of you? Then how much less the God of heaven? Why are you bringing to Him the leftovers? You know, if we're not careful, we can offer God the leftovers of our lives. What's left? Out of an abundance. Lord, if I have any spare time, if I have any spare money, if I have any spare energy, I'll give it to you. And the Lord's saying, I want it all, child. That's what's acceptable to me. Just come and present yourself wholly unto me, and the Lord will accept that gift. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to prove in my life. I want there to be evidence behind it. I want the Lord to testify of my gifts that I bring before Him. Jesus said in the fifth chapter of John, He said, how are you going to receive honor from God? Ye that receive honor one from another. Everything that you do is about other people honoring you. You want to be recognized and you want to be seen and you want to be identified as somebody who's spiritual and somebody who's this image and that image. Fine, you'll get the honor of other people. But that's all you're going to get, and how empty is that? It's important for us to realize that we are to not seek our acceptance of people. That we're not to live our lives for the acceptance of other people. It's not that we go around with a rebellious attitude. I could care less what you think. But it means my focus. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to live my life in a way that you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right now. Believe the song says, number 114, thy smile is my constant light. Lord, I want to walk in the path that your smile is upon my life. The things that I do and the places that I go and the things that I wear and all of that. Lord, I want your smile to be upon me. I want my prayer to be acceptable before you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, acknowledging the importance of having the Lord's approval upon us. He said in the eighth verse of 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You know, we don't have to wait for the last day to see whether He says depart or well done. Whether present or absent, I'm living my life for the purpose that I can be accepted of God. So it means the things I do, the way I talk. You know, we can talk one way among the saints, and then in a different environment, well, if you kind of talk saint-y-like, well, they're not going to want to hear that, and you're not going to fit in. And Lord, help us to not be so adaptive that we talk one way around the saints, and then we switch to different mode when we're around somebody at work, and different mode when we're here and there. Because I'm not seeking the approval of the world. I'm not seeking to be accepted. Am I? It can be easier said than done sometimes. Why do I do what I do? Is it so that I can be accepted of the world? Is it so I don't face the scorn and ridicule of those that I encounter in worldly circles? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sometimes we need our mind to be renewed. Lord, I'm looking at this thing altogether wrong. It's not about what people think, whether in the church or out of the church. It's not about a list of rules and regulations. Lord, it's about, I want to be accepted of you. Lord, I want you to look on my life and approve of what I'm doing. That's not going to come with thunder and lightning and we're going to go around with a halo floating over our heads. That's not what it looks like to be accepted of God. But I think about the Hebrew children when they were brought into the king's court. And they said, here's the prescription for you. Here's what your name's going to have to be. Here's what your identity is going to have to be. Here's what you're going to have to eat. And all these things that they try to change their identity. But they held true and faithful to their God. And God accepted their gifts. And he showed it again, not by thunder and lightning, but as time went on, and they didn't partake of the indulgences of the world, it was evident that God's blessing was upon them. They prospered. They flourished. Their countenance was fairer than the countenance of the world. Be encouraged today, saints. Don't worry about what the world's saying to you. Live to please the Lord. Because when we do that, as we heard in Sunday school, it can be noted of us that we've been with Jesus. Just like Moses when he went up into the mountain and he came back down and his face just shone because he had been in the presence of the Lord. Whenever we live our lives to please the Lord, it's not as men pleasers, the scripture says. I can act a certain way when people are watching. I can dress a certain way when the saints are around. That's being a man pleaser. But when I'm living to be God pleasing, it means when nobody else is watching, when nobody else is listening, it determines the things I turn my radio to. It determines the things that I discuss in conversation with others and nobody else I know is around. It puts some guidelines in my life, some boundaries as we discussed last week. Because my goal and my aim, Lord, I want you to be accepted. I want to lay my head down at night with the confidence and the sweet peace of knowing, Lord, to the best of my understanding today, I live to please you. And oh, what peaceable fruit that righteousness yields in our lives. Think what it means to be accepted. Remember whenever Esther, Queen Esther, was in a realm in which the rules and the norms were this. You don't ever go into the king's presence uninvited. You don't have the audacity to step foot into his court unless he summoned you and the scepter has been extended. But oh, how great the need. And Queen Esther rose to the occasion with confidence in her God and the prayers of her people and said, if I perish, I perish. This is what I've got to do. And she went and she appeared before the king. And the moment of truth, if you will, the apprehension, no doubt, except I don't know. I think she had such a confidence in her God. As she went and stood and I can imagine the advisors to the king and those ministering to him. What is she thinking? Doesn't she know she could lose her life? But she stepped out in confidence in her God. And the king extended to her the scepter. Folks, there were others who came to appear before the king that they spent months preparing themselves with a whole regiment of potions and ointments and all these kind of things to prepare to be acceptable to him.
She went in the assurance and confidence of her God. The song says, love holds a royal scepter, and mercy looketh down. Oh, thank the Lord today that we can have the assurance in our lives that I can come boldly before God. If we do that in our own righteousness, that is indeed nothing but empty, foolish audacity on our part. But when I come in humility of heart and clothed with the robes of righteousness that He gives me, I can come with full assurance of faith. Let us draw near, the writer said, with true hearts, in full assurance of faith. Thank God we can draw near unto God. I don't have to stand at a distance on the outskirts of the temple, if you will, wondering, will He notice me? Will he pay any mind to me? But I can come as one of the chosen ones. I can come as one who's been called and summoned of God. And I can come with a confidence and assurance of heart to the very presence of God. Whenever that veil of the temple was rent in twain and access made through the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can come ourselves boldly into the throne of grace. Thank God. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, what beautiful words. That the Lord is the one that makes us acceptable in His sight. When the enemy comes along as the accuser of the brethren, always trying to bring this cloud of accusation and doubts and to hold me shackled in the castle of despair, wondering, have I displeased the Lord? Am I living pleasing? Does the Lord accept? Does the Lord hear my prayers? The Lord is the one that wants to make us accepted in His sight. We are complete, not in ourselves, not in our own works, not in what I can produce to impress the Lord, but we are complete in Him. We are made accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. No matter who we are, no matter our lot in life or our background or the struggles that you face, know this, that the Lord extends and offers to every one of us equal opportunity to the throne of grace, equal access, that every one of us can be accepted in the Beloved. I might have less, I think, than anybody else that I can bring. Even Paul himself said, I am the least of them all. And yet the Lord, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, He accepted even me who persecuted the church. And Lord, why me? You ever feel that way? You know, I think it's a better way for us to feel than to say, Lord, You owe it to me. Lord, I've known the truth all these years. I've been raised. Oh, Lord, why me? Lord, why have You shown such grace and mercy unto me that I might be called a child of God? Lord, I am so undeserving of Your grace and mercy. But all praise be unto God who makes us accepted in the Beloved by a gift of salvation, not of works. Lest any man should boast, look who I am, look what I've done, look what I've given. But oh, by coming and presenting ourselves unto God to be able to be accepted in Him. I want to look at Ecclesiastes, the ninth chapter. I believe we'll close here. Ecclesiastes 9 and 7th verse, it says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. Be joyful. Rejoice. I believe in it. Sorry, I didn't look this up to refresh my mind. I believe there was a place, a time that Ezra or Nehemiah was
had the reading of the law before the people, and as the people heard the law, they stood and they listened to it, and their hearts were smitten within them because they realized that they didn't conform unto the law, and there was weeping and all. And he told them, go to your house. This is a day of salvation. This is a joyful day. The difference is the work that God does in our hearts. We can come a broken down, filthy old sinner and come to the Lord and bring our brokenness to Him, and He'll give us the oil of joy for the ashes and for the mourning and the spirit of heaviness. He'll give us in its place the oil of joy, the garments of praise that the Lord will give unto us. He said, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for because God now accepteth thy works. You know, the assurance and the confidence that we are accepted of the Lord by faith, not in ourselves, but by faith in what He's done, brings a joy with it that you really have to experience. The scripture says in Isaiah, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation. Jesus said unto His disciples, these things have I said unto you, that your joy might be full. The Lord has for us a joy and a peace that passes understanding, not according to what the world gives. In other words, not as a result of the circumstances of life. If we're seeking for the circumstances of life to bring our joy, to bring our happiness, to yield our peace, if we're looking to people to give us a sense of belonging and a sense of being a part, we will be disappointed over and over and over again. But if we look unto the Lord and unto this gift that no man can take away from us, that I come before the Lord and I've given Him everything that I know and understand, the sweet assurance and peace of knowing the Lord now accepts my works. Lord, You hear me whenever I cry unto You. What a joy it brings. You know, people will apply to prestigious universities or schools or programs. They'll apply for jobs with anticipation and hopes that my dream job, and I come and I give it everything that I've got. I remember whenever I was getting out of school and interviewing and hoping for a good job, and I interviewed for one, and it was in this place called Ohio, and I was excited about it and hopeful and wondering, and I remember the suspense of those weeks that I wondered, will they call me back? Will they give me a yes? Will they give me a no? And I remember opening, well, I don't know how many times a day I'd open my email. Do I have anything from? Nothing today. And I remember that day where I saw an email pop up from the employer that I had interviewed with, and my heart skipped a beat, and I opened it to see, does it say we regret or does it say we're happy? And it said, we are pleased to offer to you, and that's all I needed to know. I got it. I'm accepted. But folks, that's an earthly job. How much more wonderful, how much more joyful, when we give ourselves unto the Lord in faith, to be able to hear the Lord say, my child, I have accepted your works. And so I want us to be encouraged this day. Don't allow the enemy to beat you down in despair, discouragement, and hopelessness. To live our lives under the galling yoke of accusation, we can hold on to scriptures like this one. Yes. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God is faithful to show it to you. If my heart is honest before the Lord, Lord, I want to please you more than anything else, God is going to be faithful to your soul. And He'll show me very clearly if there is something that's hindering. And there may be times that I realize, you know what, there's some things that are plugging the wells. Those wells of salvation, I'm not able to draw from them with joy like I used to.
I can't fix that. I can't remedy that by trying to change circumstances all around, by trying to artificially inject joy into my life. I got to go back and unplug the wells. I got to go back and make sure there's nothing standing between me and my Savior, because I want to be accepted. Therefore, Paul said, we labor. Everything I do, Lord, I do it with the desire I want to be accepted of you. You pray for me. Amen.